Good morning, everybody. Welcome back in. Sports Radio 610's Payne and Pendergast. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. If you'd like to be a part of the show, hit us up, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can text. You can join the chat as well on Twitch and YouTube. Chandler Rome wrote a recent piece in The Athletic talking about the Astros clubhouse culture, and I thought it was pretty interesting. It was really centric, written around Isak Paredes and how he's kind of assimilated himself into the Astros clubhouse culture. And I thought it was kind of interesting some of the things that Isak was telling Chandler about what things were going to be like whenever he gets dealt to Houston from Chicago as part of that Kyle Tucker trade. He's thinking that, boy, I'm going to a World Series contending team. They have a lot of really great players on the roster. What's it going to be like? He was intimidated by that. And here's the quote from Isak. At first in spring training, I thought it was going to be harder because you have all these superstars. So I thought it was going to be more strict. But it's the complete opposite. It's very relaxing. They've been very open. And that gives me the confidence to go out there and play ball. End quote from Isak.
Yeah, I guess, and immediately I think, okay, well, why is this welcoming attitude not working for Christian Walker? What is it? Are they being more welcoming of Paredes? And this is, can I blame the frosty welcome or something for Christian Walker being as bad as he is? It makes me feel worse about Christian Walker. It makes me feel great about Isak Paredes.
Yeah, well, it's a good point about Walker. You know, not all guys are created equal. It could be as warm and fuzzy as possible, but yeah, maybe Christian Walker needs it to be a little bit more rough around the edges. Maybe all business. I don't know.
Yeah, he needs to go somewhere with just some genuine jerks on the roster or something.
Yeah,
yeah. That's one thing that Altuve has always said and Altuve doesn't know what other major league clubhouses are like other than what other people tell him, but that they're just a lot more welcoming when guys come in, and that there's just kind of, they try to really make people feel at home and welcome and part of the team. Because there is that, when you go to a new team, sometimes you just kind of, you're tiptoeing around a little bit because you don't want to be the guy that just asserts himself too much as the new guy. And it sounds like the Astros are able to cut through a lot of that. But ultimately, for them to win the way they are winning this year, it's the culture is there, obviously. And a lot of that just starts with Altuve, or at least it's maintained through Altuve. But the culture of the organization and their ability to develop players and just not look at them when they're in the minors or even if they're already major league players as like that it's not set in stone, that there's still upside if you just actually work at it and develop them.
Yeah.
That's probably been the most impressive thing that's sustained them. I mean, the pitchers can all have great attitudes, but unless you're identifying guys like Fromber and like Javier, or like if we talk about just the guys that were discovered as older Latin American prospects and then working with them and developing them, that's been a big part of it this year, is that they've got so many pitchers that they're getting the best performances out of.
You know, you're talking about Christian Walker and Isak Paredes, one's worked for the other. Like Chandler Rome made a point in the article to say that, you know, Isak's been traded already before. Being traded from the Cubs to the Astros, you know, Isak at one point in time was a Detroit Tiger. So he's maybe a little bit more used to, you know, being accepted into a clubhouse. He was a Tiger. He's a Ray. He was a Cub. You know, this is not foreign territory to him. Well, it shouldn't be for Christian Walker either. Christian Walker, yeah, he'd spent a lot of years in Arizona, but that's not where he got his, you know, start in his career. He was a Baltimore Oriole for a couple of years. You know, he understands at various points in time in his career, you know, how tough it is or challenging it can be to kind of, be accepted into a new city, a new clubhouse. And to be quite honest with you, like, I know the Jose Abreu comparisons do exist, unfortunately, as we sit here in the month of July now between him and Christian Walker. But the one thing that I always latched onto, and I don't know that we ever got an answer, or certainly not even interested in now, but is why Jose Abreu did struggle his first year as an Astro, outside of maybe, yes, just the decline that we should have seen in the numbers. But, you know, he was in Chicago as a member of the White Sox for a long time. It's where he, you know, got his start, and it's where he saw his success. I wondered, like, if he coming to the Astros, you know, very much, you know, still at the peak, what we thought was of this dynastic run of them being on, if that was intimidating to him, like, you're a White Sox. You're a member of an organization that has literally had zero expectations in large for the time that you'd spent there, outside of that one time when you had Tony La Russa and you thought, like, oh, well, this guy's going to bring a winning culture and, you know, kind of take you to the next level. No, that wasn't the case at all. It hits guys differently. And I think it clearly has for Christian Walker, for whatever reason, that he's not felt as comfortable as a Houston Astro with maybe all of those expectations that go along with a guy that's getting paid the same exact contract that Jose Abreu was.
That is interesting, especially if, you know, if Paredes is talking about how he was kind of intimidated just coming into this environment that's won so much, and you wonder if you're, yeah, there might just be as simple an element as pushing too hard. And yeah. Because Abreu, you had seen the decline in the power the year before, and it looked like, okay, yeah, this is a guy that's, he's in 2022, he was 35 years old. He's 36. There's going to continue to be a decline. Yeah. But the decline was so drastic. And with Abreu, he just, you could never fault him for his work ethic. He worked his butt off and he wanted to be out there playing every day. It might be as simple as that. It's one of those things that might be simple, but impossible to fix, is just how hard he was pressing in the face of declining physical skills and trying to measure up to a new standard.
Yeah.
That it's a lot.
You know, one point that I want to make, I like to make this point because, you know, Joe Espada, I don't feel like gets near the credit that he deserves, even now that the ball club is winning and they're one of the best in the bigs, you know, to date, record-wise, and overperformance, maybe, some would say, many would say, maybe, in terms of the results they're seeing from guys that you didn't even know existed maybe 3 months ago. But it's Jeremy Peña. And when Espada earlier this offseason, when we still didn't have finality with where Alex Bregman was going to wind up, is he going to be an Astro lifer? Is he going to wind up in Boston or Chicago? Who's he going to be playing for? Joe Espada was asked a question on MLB Network. Who's going to be the vocal leader? Who's going to be the clubhouse leader that kind of replaces an Alex Bregman that you're going to be missing so much from if, in fact, you can't retain him? He didn't mince words. He didn't hesitate. He didn't stutter. He said Jeremy Peña. And he said Jeremy Peña because he's seen over the years a guy that has understood Jose Altuve's here, Yordan Alvarez is here, Kyle Tucker's here, Alex Bregman is here. Those are the guys that are vocal and that lead by example. But he's wanting to be that guy. He's waiting for his opportunity. And it just so happened, it presented itself. You know, Yordan has struggled out of the gate and now hadn't played baseball for 2 months. Never mind, Bregman and Tucker are no longer Astros. Jeremy Peña is a guy at a premium position who is now performing and taking his game to a completely different level, who has thrived on the opportunity to be a clubhouse leader and be a more vocal guy, who already brought an innate, you know, energy to him and the excitable personality that he plays the game with. I think those two things have gelled perfectly.
Yeah, and it's also too, you know, sometimes I think we probably people get too fixated on who's going to be the vocal leader and all of that. And we're on so many of the good teams, it's never. It doesn't have to be that there's one guy that's the driving force behind it. You know, think about those San Antonio Spurs rosters forever. And I think that's where the Astros have been. Like Correa, remember how awkward it was that Correa was all of a sudden so like visibly the leader in his free agency year? Yeah. Like all of a sudden Correa was like, hey, I'm going to be out at every mound visit and I'm going to be the guy. Like, all right, we get it. It's putting your best foot forward. It doesn't necessarily need to be that way. If you go back to 2017, there's some element of where you're bringing in, you've got a bunch of young players and a bunch of unprovens the way it's shaken out so far this year, but you have the veteran presence of Paredes, and it'd be nice if Christian Walker was playing better. But when they brought in McCann and all of those other guys, and right as the golden era was beginning, I like the blend of leadership or age and experience on this team.
Yeah. Texters, don't do this to yourselves. I'm telling you right now. We're getting some responses on the text line. 713-572-4610. 402-464-610. Christian Walker had three hits last night. Maybe he's coming around.
We warned you about this.
Yeah.
I went through all the splits, man. Yeah. Any way you slice it or dice it, last 7 days, last 14 days, last 28 days, he's been a below average baseball player. And yes, this could be the one that this could be the game that everything turns around. But we've been through this before this year. I can't do this after every good Christian Walker performance.
Cross all the fingers, all the toes, the arm, whatever you need to cross. Like, maybe, but just let it breathe a little bit. Like, if he has, you know, three multi-hit games in this series in Colorado, like, I don't know that that's going to make me feel much better because
it's Colorado.
That's Colorado. Yeah. All right. What's the deal? If Punch and Judy hits, you know, if he's just like flaring balls over the shortstop or the second baseman's head, like,
yeah,
it's the Colorado thing. It's like whatever out the window, but still, it's also the exit velo. If he's popping balls over the infielder's heads at like 80 miles per hour.
Yeah. No, if he hits three home runs with it, 350 feet apiece or so, or plus, you know, pushing 400, then I'll be cool with that.
Yeah, it's just give us the results. I just need to get this win too. I don't want to be talking about how the Rockies, took two or three from the Astros. 9 o'clock hour is upon us at Sports Radio 610. He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani, and for Sean Pendergast. Stick with us at Sports Radio 610.